This week's mailbag comes to us from Amy. Dear Lisa, I wanted to send an email to express my gratitude. I found your podcast during the first few weeks of the COVID lockdown. Although I had made and love my Sunday basket, I was reluctant to get rid of my filing cabinet. It was just one draw, so who was it hurting? However, after reading the paper solution, I reluctantly made my binders. During my migration, I found the 2-inch thick folder left by the prior homeowners. In it were the receipts for the windows, which were currently broken. Being able to get the original manufacturers in to fix the windows saved me thousands of dollars on not having to have the windows replaced. Thank you again for everything. I will not doubt you in the future.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, diversity and inclusion has taken on a whole new definition in the last 12 months, hasn't it? You know, Organized 365 has always been a company that was purposely created for diversity and inclusion, but it was not initially created for the diversity of race. So I want to explain, there are like 10 different ways that I have purposefully over the last 9 years created a very inclusive and diverse company. And I want to share what those are the ways that I have created, knowing that as we go further and as I learn more and as I grow and develop my skill set as a owner and a CEO, my company will get more and more diverse. I live in Cincinnati. I have to say, I think the best example for me of a diverse and inclusive company would be Procter & Gamble. So here in Cincinnati, a lot of my friends work for Procter & Gamble. Most of the friends I know are white, middle-aged white men, because that's what I am. But Procter & Gamble as a company as a whole is extremely diverse, inclusive, and very conscious of that in their hiring practices and who they purchase from, in their advertising campaigns, and in everything. And I've always known that for a long time because they buy a certain percentage of their supplies from minority-owned businesses. And as a woman, my business is considered minority-owned, and my husband works in industrial sales. And so he knows, you know, these kinds of things. Like he's always talked about how, you know, P&G has a certain portion of their budget that has to be bought from minority companies. And because his company was owned by a white middle-aged man, they didn't qualify for that portion of sales. So I just always kind of knew that. Well, knowing that and also knowing that my company is considered minority owned because I am a woman, in some ways, I have felt like a minority. The other thing I would say is in creating Organized 365, I would say the way in which I have felt more like a minority is not in being a woman, because I mean like 50% of the world is a woman, but more in things that have happened in our life not of our choosing, that have caused us to be a minority in different situations. And the best example I can give you, two really, are both related to our kids. Well, okay, three related to our kids. Number one was when we were going through infertility and couldn't have children and desperately wanted to have children, I realized how much of the world is set up for married families with children. Like, if you didn't have children, it's not the same now as it was 20 years ago. Everything is getting more inclusive and diverse and accepting today. We're always growing more and more towards that in our learning. But 20 years ago, if you desired to have children and you didn't have children, it was really, really hard. Still today, if you desire to have children and don't have children, it is hard. But you probably have a lot of family and friends who also don't have children, either purposefully or they're waiting or they too are infertile. The church that I was going to when we were going through infertility, there was only one other active woman in her 20s that did not have children. And on Mother's Day, she told me she was pregnant. And I left that church crying and found another church because I could not be the only woman who was actively participating in this church, married in my 20s without kids. So it was a Presbyterian church. I was raised Catholic, Presbyterian. Now I go to a non-denominational church. So in that Presbyterian church, what I just kind of observed was that you went to church until you went to college, and then you didn't go to college in your 20s. And once you had kids, you started going to church again with your kids. It's just a generalization. It's one church in the entire world, but it was true in that church. Like, and I'm extremely active in whatever I do. So at that time in the church, I was running a Bible study. I was doing the kids' summer Bible study curriculum and running that whole thing. I was in charge of, like, I was just in charge of a lot of things. I was probably spending 20, 25 hours a week at church. And then I was the only, now there were people on the membership roster that were technically members, but they weren't there on Sunday. Like, there was no one else in their 20s without kids on Sunday. So I felt very much like a minority then. Then we got these little blessings from God. And there have been significant periods of my life with my kids where I felt like a minority. And one was when we chose to do the gluten-free, casein-free diet with the kids. This would have been in the early 2000s. Like, it was, there was no gluten-free aisle at the grocery store when I did this. I had to have our bread flown in from Florida, hot dogs flown in from Pennsylvania so they could be nitrate free. It was millet bread. It tasted terrible. There were like three companies that even made gluten-free and casein-free things. You could only find them at Whole Foods or Jungle Jim's, both of which were like 20 minutes away from my house. And we used to call Whole Foods Whole Paycheck. We spent $1,400 a month in food just so I could eliminate all of the allergens that Abby had, which meant that I had to send everything to school with her. I had to make everything when we went out to a restaurant, when we went out for holidays. Like, our family members were not accommodating for going to a restaurant that would even attempt to have allergy-free menus. Not that very many even did back then. But if there even were, the, you know, what we were told was, no, we really would rather eat this food and they're just kids. And so we went to wherever the adults wanted to go, and I would literally bring in thermoses, what my kids would eat at a restaurant, because there was nothing there that they could eat. And then I had to send in like snacks at Christmas, and Abby still talks about it, how she didn't get to get the cupcake and I had to send in the special cupcake. And I really felt like I was a salmon swimming upstream. Like, no one was doing what I was doing. I was considered wackadoodle because I was doing all these things and all these other alternative things. I mean, I'm glad I did it. It did not end up resolving all of my kids' issues, but it definitely rebuilt their immune systems. Joey doesn't even have asthma today. We know that's because of that and another supplement that we did. It improved my kids' quality of life. It was worth it. But I felt like I was crazy and that people told me I was crazy. And then the last time I would say that I really struggled with diversity and inclusion and why I'm so purposeful, like in the kids' memory binder, when you buy the kids' memory binder, I don't say like, what sports are you in this year? I ask more general kids' questions the kid can write down in there, no matter what child you are, no matter where you are in the neurodiversity spectrum. So my kids have learning disabilities. My kids have ADHD. My kids have IEPs, individualized education plans. My kids were never good at sports. Didn't really even like sports. So because of that, other kids would be, I don't know, playing and in their select soccer and their extracurricular piano class. And my kids were learning basic life skills in the summer because we couldn't learn those during the school year because we couldn't keep up with the homework because we were so anxious. Because I just felt like we just didn't get to have a normal childhood. And whenever you were meeting with other families and kids, like, they would just go off and play sports, and my kids didn't play sports, so then what do they play together? And I now know that my story is not really a minority. It's probably 50% of the families, more families than you realize, where the kids really like video games and Legos, and they really have zero desire to be outside, or maybe they're allergic to the outside. And it's just really complicated to be a parent today and to be a kid today, to be honest. Ironically, there are a lot of kids that are thriving because of the pandemic because they get to stay home and there's no anxiety, and they're with their parents, and everything's slowed down. So there are always going to be pluses and minuses in every situation, but those are examples of times when I have felt like a minority. Because that's my experience, and that was my experience in going in and starting my company, when we started to organize 365 for the first 3 years, there were no employees, but I did have contractors. And the observation that I made of my contractors with my in-home clients as we would go in and organize their homes was that 50% of the time, the homeowner that we were organizing either was self-diagnosed or actually diagnosed with ADHD, and they struggled with organization, and we were able to step in and help with organization. Just so happens that all of the contractors that I hired all had family members with ADHD. And so they really understood the struggles of being organized in a home when your brain fights against it. Like, the ADHD mind is fabulous. It's amazing. It's so creative, innovative. Venture to say almost every great idea we ever have comes from someone with an ADHD mind, because they just don't see the world the way a logical linear thinker sees the world. But they struggle in their environment at home and school and work because they're so creative and innovative. You know, the story of how Walt Disney came up with the idea for Disney World was he was riding on like a sit-on train inside his house, and he ran it right into a wall. Like, I mean, because he's like dreaming about whatever. That's ADD. And so because our organizers were logical and linear thinkers, but they had a family member with ADHD, they had empathy and compassion and grace, and that's why our in-home organizing worked. Like, because we knew how to make order out of chaos, but we also knew how to talk to someone who struggled with ADHD and not make them feel like they were less than, or it was their fault, or they should have gotten it together by now, or why can't you keep this organized? Like, all those messages we never gave, because we knew. And we also knew that when we set up a space inside of a home, it was going to work, because we asked enough questions that we set up the space to be organized the way that homeowner needed it, not the way we organized the person the day before. And the first time I realized that I had hired for this diversity and inclusion without knowing it was when I hired someone that was a really good organizer and very logical and very analytical, and she made my clients cry. I was like, why are you crying? And she's like, well, your organizer said this and I can't do that. And oh my gosh. And I was like, whoa, 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 you're fine. She's wrong. You're good. We'll get this fixed. So I sent a different organizer in, everything was fine, and I let that organizer go. And that's when I realized, oh, home organization really has nothing to do about organizing your house. Really. It is all about understanding how you think, how your space functions, what solutions need to be put in place, and building up your confidence and reducing your anxiety while we do it. And I call that giving you grace. That's what you say to me, I give you grace. What I do is I give you confidence and I reduce your anxiety about trying something that you haven't been successful at in the past because somebody told you you did it wrong, you didn't do it fast enough, you didn't maintain it, spent too much money. Like, you heard all those messages and that's what you're afraid of. And so that was where our original diversity and inclusion came from. Now, when I started hiring, the first true hire I had was Pat 5 or 6 years ago. And Pat's older than me, about 10 years older than me. And I thought, oh, do I hire somebody older than me to work with me? Not in a bad way, but just like, more like, oh my gosh, she'll know that I don't know what I'm doing, or you know, all these crazy thoughts you have in your head. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great because Pat is technically a baby boomer and I'm a Gen Xer. And I thought, this is great because I know that I organize children through, you know, seniors. And so if I can build my online team, you know, my blog and podcast and future products team with people from multiple generations, then I, when I have a new idea, I can basically pull a focus group inside of my company and say, hey, what do you guys think about this product? And they will see it from their point of view, from their point of origin, whether that is firstly, I did it based on generation. So inside of Organize 365, we have all four generations represented. We have a couple of baby boomers, a whole bunch of Gen Xers, one millennial, and four Generation Z. So almost everybody that's been hired in 2020 is a Zennial. They're young. They're 23 and under. And boy, do they give a lot of life to our organization. If I had to guess, I mean, I'm not hiring for your age, but if I had to guess, I think with as fast as Organize 365 is growing and that we're a mostly online company, I would say that probably the majority of our hires in the next year or two will be millennials, which are people about 25 to 40 years old. And that seems about right. That's probably where we have a hole in our organization as far as generations. Now, as I'm reading through all these things that we have in our company, some of it just happened naturally. Some of it, all of it happened naturally. I never hire based on diversity and inclusion, but it is awesome how this has worked out, is what I would say. So that is number one. The generation thing is really important to me because I've always been a person that can communicate with people who are much older and much younger than me. I mean, ever since I was a little child. I could hold on conversations with adults. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a unique bird. So I need a team around me that also spans all of those generations so that we maintain our relevance in generations. The next thing is, up until this summer, every single person I've hired has been a woman. I didn't really see that as a problem because remember back in the Procter & Gamble conversation with my husband, I'm considered a minority-owned company. So I figured, well, I'm a minority, so I have all minorities. It's 100% minorities. We're all women, which really isn't true. Like, you have to have diversity of gender also. So we have a couple guys on the team now, and that is a great thing. And specifically, up until this point, we have primarily marketed and I have primarily spoken to women, and I am hearing from you about how you would like me to be more inclusive of males in general, of all ages, but especially men 40 and under who really are taking a different active role inside of their household than Gen X and baby boomer men typically have in the past. But also with the pandemic, you see baby boomer and Gen X men really changing their roles inside of the house as well. So that is something that we are working on being more diverse on in the future. Next, I don't know is necessarily a diversity thing, but it definitely is an inclusion thing. I started this company when I was 40. I quit my teaching job to come home and start this company, but I have always identified as being a stay-at-home mom. And even though I have a college education and all of these things, I have had this resistance and just like belittling of myself because for so many years, my primary job was to stay home and take care of children. And, you know, any 16-year-old girl can do that. So basically, I was just doing a babysitting job, which is so far from the truth, I can't even explain to you. And as I've realized how far from the truth that is and how many skills you gain when you are the primary manager of your home and raising your children and all that, I now understand the skill sets specifically that a stay-at-home mom brings to an organization when they choose to re-enter the workforce. And so for a while, that's primarily what I hired. Like almost every single person that I hired was someone who would have identified as a full-time stay-at-home mom for a long period before they came to Organize 365. It delights me to no end to see potential in people that they don't see in themselves and then watch it come to fruition. Like it is... it is the best thing. If I had to say, like, what is the one thing that I would want to do for the rest of my life, it's that. Like, I feel like every Wednesday podcast episode, when I hear your stories of where you were when you found Organize 365 and where you are today, now that you're getting your home organized, you're telling me your story of how you decided to get organized and how you got organized. And I am watching and hearing your unlimited potential that you didn't realize you had, and finally getting enough time to realize that you are amazing. And to see that inside of Organize 365 in the people that we hire is addicting, which is probably why I hire mostly women and mostly middle-aged women up until this point, because that is the demographic that has that feels like they're not really sure what they have to offer the world. They just know that they're pretty sure they have something, and I'm able to see it. And the way Organize 365 is developed, you come in an entry role, whatever it is we need filled at that time. But every 12 weeks, we kind of move our organizational chart a little bit based on the needs of the company, but also based on the growth and the development of the team. So if I see something growing and developing in you, 12 weeks later, I'm probably going to move you into a different department or create a new job description based on your unique giftings, and then hire somebody else in at an entry-level job, project manager, customer service, warehouse, whatever, until we see what their unique gifting and calling is, and then move them into something that is more unique for them. It's not 100% great way of hiring, because sometimes the unique gifting and calling isn't something we need inside of Organize 365. It's very rare, but it's happened. And also, it is not very scalable. Like I'm not just hiring like 15 people to work in the warehouse or whatever. Like I have such a unique bent on finding what your unique purpose is. I can't put you in a position that doesn't match it. Does that make sense? Like if you are overqualified, or if the job we have doesn't match your unique skills and giftings, I want to create the job that matches your unique skills and giftings, because it's just my thing. Okay, it's going to take us a while to get through these if I take so long, right? Okay, this is a big one. I did not realize this, but once I realized it, I was super excited. We have a diversity of family makeup in our company that is spot on the U.S. Census, which is fantastic. I mean, it's just awesome. 46% of the people employed by Organize 365, and this is not including the people who've been hired this fall, so this is just up until the summer of 2020, 46% of the people in our team are married with kids. Now, if I add in all the Zennials that were just hired, now we're like at 25% married with kids. But if you don't take the bulk of college kids I just hired, 46% are married with kids. 25% are single adults in their 40s or older. And I think that that is really powerful, because there are so many people who choose to remain single or don't choose to remain single, but find themselves in adulthood single, you know, not in their 20s and 30s, but 40s and beyond. So that's really helpful to be able to, you know, if I'm ever doing anything, then I can ask a couple of people on our team, hey, what is this like for you? That's why when I say in the podcast, you know, when you turn 40, you just organize your house differently. You look at the world differently. I thought maybe it was just because of me and the ages of my kids. And then I started asking some of my family and friends and our team members, and I found out, no, I'm right. It's turning 40. It doesn't matter if you're married. It doesn't matter if you have kids. It's turning 40 that is the big thing. Then 16% of our audience are married in their 40s and 50s and don't have kids, either by their own choice or not their own choice. You know, just were never blessed. And then 16% are single, divorced mothers. So we really do hit a lot of the different family dynamics that you're going to see specifically in American homes with the people just on our team. So if I'm wondering like, hey, is this going to resonate with whatever audience? I can literally go to somebody and say, what would you think about this in your home? Or I realize it's only a couple of people, but at least it's a couple of people. Number 5 is this awareness and empathy for special needs. Again, I have not hired for this, and I don't know the people that we have hired this summer and on, the Zennials, but for our team that was around starting in the beginning of 2020, every single team member either has someone in their immediate family or their close family with a significant special need, a lifelong special need that is going to impact that child or that now adult in adulthood with this unique special need. And the reason why I feel this is so significant is because I feel it is the story of almost everyone. So when my kids were younger, I read the book, Kenneth Bach's book, Healing the Four A's, Allergy, Asthma, Autism, and ADHD. And when you take those four diagnoses together, you hit one out of every two American children in the early 2000s. So it could be more by now, I don't know. And when I read that book and I thought about, you know, taking the special foods to the different meals, you know, because both my kids were on all these things and they hit like all those things, I realized that I only had a handful of friends who did not have at least one child with those issues, with one of those issues. And when I say allergies, I don't mean they have hay fever. I mean they have an EpiPen that they carry because they have a life-threatening allergic reaction to something. Or when I say asthma, I don't mean that, you know, like once a year they use an inhaler. I mean they're on a regular asthmatic medication. They don't go anywhere without an inhaler. Like, we just have a lot of issues, a lot of needs. And that gives us that empathy again that I told you about back in the beginning of the company, that when you have a child or young adult who for the rest of their lives will always need accommodations, special situations, additional care, whatever, you get a perspective about life that you don't have when everything seems to be going pretty well. And I realize nobody's life is perfect, but recognizing that there are things that you cannot change for people that you love gives you an unbelievable amount of empathy, understanding, and just perspective. Similar to how you would feel if you've survived cancer or you're fighting with somebody who has a terminal illness, you will never take health for granted. You know, any of these experiences, these life-altering experiences, cause you to view and see the world differently and also cause you to have a lot more grace and empathy for everyone. So what I would say is we are a diverse company. We are an extremely inclusive company. Maybe not in the way that you would describe diversity or inclusion, but diversity inclusion at the Procter & Gamble level doesn't happen until your company gets to be a certain size. If you know the origin story of Procter & Gamble, it was a guy Procter and a guy Gamble, and they were in the Ohio River, and they had Ivory soap, and they realized it floated. That's how the whole entire company started. Two white guys realizing that soap floats in a river. So at the origin of the Procter & Gamble story, there's no diversity, there's no inclusion. And Organize 365 is 9 years old. We have 7 full-time team members and a handful of contractors. We are creating a lot of diversity and inclusion based on how we're creating content in Organize 365. And as we continue to grow and hire and expand, you are going to see a lot more diversity inside of Organize 365 as we have more team members to display that diversity. You would expect a company the size of Procter & Gamble, a Fortune 50 company, to reflect all of the beautiful colors, all of the different thought patterns, all of the different races, religions, and everything inside of their company. And we strive to do that as we grow as well. If you want to see diversity and inclusion inside of Organize 365, all you have to do is look in our Facebook groups, look at our Embrace conference, look at our certification, and you will see you represented in all of those people, because we have a very diverse and inclusive community that is drawn to the Organize 365 brand. So it just stands to reason that as we continue to grow, you, the Organize 365 members, are going to start joining our team as well. We're in the process of hiring, or maybe by the time this podcast comes out, we will have already hired an office manager. I know next we need to hire a customer service and someone who can help us with our website. And I also know we'll be hiring many people in the warehouse this spring and in the summer. So if you live in the Westchester area, the Cincinnati, Ohio area, all of our jobs are now in-house in the Cincinnati office. Let us know that you're looking for a job. Let us know what your unique gifts and talents are so that as I'm projecting out how we're growing and what we need next, I know that you're interested in joining our team. I hope you guys have a great week.